starting on the top of Samachetim and Halachit lines down, the Gemara is dealing with the seeming stira between the position of Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara of Sachem versus Rabbi Yehuda over here. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara of Sachem doesn't allow you to do bdikah during the Zman Isur Chametz. Seems the problem is that you might come to eat the Chametz when you're doing the bdikah. But over here by Chodosh, Rabbi Yehuda does not stop you from engaging in those materials. And we don't worry about the fact that you're going to eat it. So we discussed different possibilities as to how to reconcile between Rabbi Yehuda's position here and Rabbi Yehuda's position there. At first, the suggestion by Rabba was that there's a difference here because everything's done with a shinoi. Since it's done with a shinoi, everybody will be aware of the fact that there's a problem with eating the chadash and they'll separate from it. But in the end, we saw that there are problems with that because there are certain fields that don't require a shinoi. Because those fields aren't the source for the Omer, and therefore they don't have a restriction against Ktsira and other processes before the Zman HaOmer. And if you're working with these items without any Shinoi, how do we make a Heker that you shouldn't come to eat the Chodosh? So we ended off with Ela Amar Abaye. And remember that anytime the Gemara uses the word Ela, it's a rejection of that which was before, and Abaye comes up with a different reason. Now how much Abaye rejects Rabbah is important because Abaye says the difference is that chadash b'dil minei. Chadash is something that people don't engage in. They haven't had heter with regards to chadash. So they stay away from it. Chametz lo b'dil minei. On the other hand, chametz, people do not separate away from because of the fact that it's heter all year round. So then now all of a sudden it's asur for a short period of time. People aren't used to having it being asur. So that's what Abaye says. The question is, what about all those shinuim that we spoke about before? What does Abaye believe with regards to what Rabba said, that you do the tchina, by tchinat yad, you do the harkadah, that you do it on the upside down sifter, you do things with the shinoi? Does he still subscribe to that? Or does he believe because people are badu min achadash, you don't need any of that? Now, with regards to ktsira, you definitely need a shinoi because ktsira, as we're going to see later on, might be a problem de oraita, which is that you're not allowed to do ktsira on fields that are ra'ui la'omer before the ktsira to omer. So if that's the case, even Abaye would have to agree there, you have to do kituf, you have to do something that's a shinoi or not harvested beforehand. But the other processes, maybe Abaye believes that you don't need a shinoi because it's inherently shoneh, because it's something that people are badu mineh. That was the way that we left off. So, Amar Rava, de Rabbi Yehuda, kasha, de Rabbanan, lo kasha. You only dealt with one side of the machloket. You dealt with Rabbi Yehuda's position, which is that Rabbi Yehuda thinks by chametz, you can't do the bdika during Pesach. And here by chodosh, he allows you to be interacting with the items even before the Zman of the Omer. But the Rabbanan also have a similar position. Rabbi Meir over here in our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to interact with the chodosh, and you're not allowed to have these items prior to the Hakravat HaOmer. On the other hand, in Pesach, we see the Chachamim who argue there on Rabbi Yehuda say you can't do Bdika during the Zman HaPesach. So also over there you have a Stira. It's interesting because over here there's attribution to the position or the one who's Cholek on Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Meir. In the Gemara of Sachem, it's just the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Yehuda. So you could suggest that here it's Rabbi Meir, there it's Rabbanan, so they're not the same. Although, generally, we know that the Baal Tosafot say this in a number of places in Chas, that the Stam Baal Plukta, the Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Meir. Because we find most of the machlokot between Rabbi Yehuda is with Rabbi Meir, even though Rabbi Yehuda argues with other Tanaim. But in the majority, it's with Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara here makes that assumption that the Rabbanan in Sachim are the same as the Rabbanan or Rabbi Meir over here. And every now we have a stira there. El Amarova. The Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha kedirishanina. Rabbi Yehuda is not a problem, like Abaye taught us, that there's a difference between Chodosh and Chametz. The truth is, you can only serve to reinforce that, which Abaye says, because of the difference in the nature of the restriction, which is that Chodosh is an Isur Lav, whereas the Isur of Chametz is an Isur Karet. And we know for that reason that there is a need for Bdika, that we do many things with Chametz that we don't do in other areas of Halacha, both because lo badu minei and because it's a chiyuv karet. And that in of itself could explain that which Abaye is saying, which is chodosh, you can say badu minei, but also the risks are lower. Even if there is a violation, it's only a violation of a lav. By chametz, the lo badu minei, the risks are much higher because you're dealing with a chiyuv karet. And that could explain Rabbi Yehuda's position as well. The Rabbanan lo kasha, so now the steer within the Rabbanan is also not problematic. Hu atzmo mechazer alav v'sofo, mechel achel minei. This is what we already noted in yesterday's daf of the Rabbanan. You're on a search and destroy mission. Why would you come to eat it? Your whole point is to eliminate the chametz. You're doing b'dikor b'yor in order to eliminate the chametz. You're going to take one of the pieces, you're going to start eating it. That defeats the whole purpose of what you're doing, which is to clear out the chametz from the house when you didn't do the b'dika early enough. So that is the reasoning of the chachamim of the Rabbanan. Adar Rabbanan is lo kasha, because by chametz, you are actively engaged with it in order to rid yourself of it. Whereas over here, by the chadash, you're processing it in order to be able to eat it, to use it. So it's in a positive construct that you're interacting with it, and there you might come to eat it. By the chametz, you're in a negative interaction with it, and therefore we don't think you're going to come to eat it. Ravashi amar, so Ravashi now brings a different reason why Rav Yehuda's lo kasha. Kemach kali tnan. Our Mishnah says it's roasted flour. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Although there were alternate girsas, which were kemach vikali, that it is kemach and roasted in our Mishnah, which are both inedible items. Since they are inedible items, then what are you worried about? So they process them. They're not going to eat them. The way that the Rabbeinu Gershom says it is kemach vikali tnan. He has it with a vav, kemach vikali. De kemach lav bar achilahu. Flour is not edible. Vikali, kevin shemuhuvavu, ba'esh nitkasheh. Since they roasted it in the fire, it hardens. Vein ra'ui l'achila halki, and therefore it's no longer edible. Ve'it svarim dichtiv behu. We have some svarim that have argyusa, which is kemach kali. Kemach asui min akleyot. This is flour that was made from roasted kernels. Below boyu the meimar vikali. The savri de kali ra'ui l'achila mi'ikara. That kali originally was ra'ui l'achila. It was edible at some point, and that's why they don't add it in. Although you could just see that kemach vikali are not edible, or it's kemach kali or roasted flour that's not edible. V'had ravashi berutahi, or the other girsa in many places in Shas is bedutahi. The ravashi's statement is a little bit of a joke, because tinach mikali velach. That's true when you're dealing from the roasted point onwards. Ad kali ma'ika the meimar. Before you roast them, they were edible. And if that's the case, then you interacted with them while they were in an edible state. So what you'll say is, until the point of roasting, they do it bishinui, which is that they pick them by hand rather than by kli. That's the way that Rashi explained it before. The Achronim deal with whether that's really enough of a shinui, or that's really the difference between kituf versus ktsira, uka de rabo. And like what Rabba said above, that shinui is sufficient to keep you away from the chadash. Beit HaShlachim, the sharia ktsira, ma'ika the meimar. You still run into the same problem that Rabba ran into, which is why Beit HaShlachim in irrigated fields where you can do straight out ktsira, because it's not ra'ui the ktsira to omer, or it's not quality grain that's coming from there. Ela had the Ravashi, berutahi or bedutahi. Ravashi's statement over here is not really serious. Many times the Gemara will say, it was the chadedet talmidim, the sharpen the talmidim. He gave a reason that wasn't necessarily completely solid, but he wanted to see the talmidim's reaction to it. Or he made a statement that on the surface looks like it can solve the problem. But when you delve into it, we see that it's not the solution to the problem. Because over here, you have a problem before the point of roasting, before the point where it's made inedible. You have points where you're interacting in an inedible state, and people will forget and then take from the chadash. So then we're left with the answer of Abaye, which is seconded by Rabba for Rabbi Yehuda, which is Chodosh b'dilmine, Chametz lo b'dilmine. The truth is, Ravashi will answer in his defense the reason that he thinks that even beforehand it's not a problem, even though there is no shinui, is because that you could eat a little bit of flour, you could chew on the kernels of grains, but that is not a mainstream type of eating that happens. Some people do it, you do it a little bit, but if you're going to worry about that unusual type of eating when the majority of people don't eat this stuff, it's not necessarily something you would worry about. And for the Rabbanan, we have a difference between your interaction. When you're having a positive interaction, we worry. When you're having a negative interaction, then we don't worry. Right now, we move on to the next Mishnah, which deals with the issue of Chodosh, which is Mish Kareva Omer, Putar Chadash Miyad. Once the Omer is brought, Chodosh becomes Mutar right away. You don't have to wait for anything else, including the, seemingly the Korbanot that come with the Omer. You don't have to wait for them to be put on the Mizbech. Once the Omer is done, Kadosh is Mutar. Haruchokim, those that are far away from the Beit HaMikdash, in the time period where they didn't have an ability to communicate when the Omer was brought, Mutarim Michatzot Hayom Ulahalan. They're allowed to eat Kadosh from noon and onwards. Mishkara Beit HaMikdash, once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is one of the takanot that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai associated with Korban HaBayit. We find it in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Masechet Sukkah. In Sukkah, that was to take lulav all 7 days b'Medina. And then by Shofar, he also was hitkin that they can blow it in Beitin on Shabbat, not just in the Beit HaMikdash. Shei Yom HaNeif Kulo Asur. The Neif comes from the word Hanafa, because the Omer requires Tnufa. So Yom HaNeif means the 16th of Nisan. Kulo Asur, the entire day is Asur, meaning Kodosh only becomes Mutar at the end of the 16th, the day is finished. Amrav Yehuda, Valo Min HaTorah, Asur, isn't it really Asur Min HaTorah, the whole 16th? What do you mean, a takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? It's Deoraita, Shenemar. Because the Pasuk says, with regards to the Omer and the Chadash, Lechem V'Kali V'Karmel, Lo Tochlu Ad Etzem HaYom Hazeh, until the midst of this day, Ad Aviyachem, Et Korban Olokechem, until you brought the Korban. Hukat Olam L'Dorotechem B'Chol Moshvotechem. So the Pasuk gives you two prerequisites for eating. One is Ad Etzem HaYom Hazeh, and the other one is Ad Aviyachem Et Korban Olokechem, until you bring the Korban. So he points out, Shenamar, Etzem HaYom Hazeh, and the Gemara will explain to us, there are two prerequisites, but they reference to different times. When there is an Omer, then the prerequisite is Ad Aviyachem Et Korban Olokechem. When there is no Omer, the requirement is Ad Etzem HaYom Hazeh. Now, Itzumo Shel Yom immediately means the peak of the day, but Itzumo Shel Yom is really this day or the day itself. And therefore, we're going to see in the Gemara, Machloket, how to read that Etzem HaYom Hazeh. And Ibnei Marachokim Mutarim Mechatzot HaYom Alahalan. Why are they Mutar from Chatzot and onward? Because they know Beit Din does not tarry in the bringing of the Omer. And therefore, we can assume that the Omer was brought by the time Chatzot comes about. So you can rely on the Chazokah, the Omer is always brought by Chatzot. And therefore, you can assume by the time Chatzot comes around, that the Omer has already been brought and Chodosh is Mutar. The assumption would be that it's Chatzot in Yerushalayim and not Chatzot in the location where you are. Now, Rabbi Shmuel de Amrei Tarvayu. Rabbi and Shmuel both believe, Zman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, Omer Matir. When the Beit HaMikdash is around, the Omer is what's Matir the Chadash. Zman She'ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Erev Mizrach Matir. When the sun breaks on the eastern horizon, so this would be, in other places in Shas, it would mean Alota Shachar. That's clear in the Mishnayot and Yoma, that here HaMizrach is before the sun rises. Although over here, if you look in Rashi, he says, here HaMizrach, HaNetzachama. That is sunrise. So it is likely, because we're dealing with the Din De'oraita, that we don't go back to Alota Shachar, which is really the beginning of the day, but rather we go by sunrise. But Rashi over here is makpid to note that it's sunrise and not Alota Shachar, unlike what we find in other places in Shas. My time. What's the reasoning behind Rav Shmuel's position? The pasuk gives you two prerequisites. Kativ ad aviyachem, that until you bring the Omer. Uchtiv ad etzem hayom hazeh. Ha ketzad. How do I reconcile this? Kam is beit HaMikdash kayam. When the Beit HaMikdash is around, then the prerequisite is ad aviyachem, once you brought the Omer. Kam zman she'ein beit HaMikdash kayam. When the Beit HaMikdash is not extant, then the ad etzem hayom hazeh is the governing principle. And as we're going to see on the second half of the day's daf, it is ad velo ad bichlal. Ad etzem hayom hazeh means until this day, not including this day. So once you've reached this day, meaning the morning of the 16th, that is sufficient to be bad there the Omer. Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, this is a machloket bavel Eretz Yisrael. You have Rav and Shmuel on one side, you have Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish on the other side, the Amrei Tarvayu. Afilu zman shebeit HaMikdash kayam, here Mizrach Matir. Even during the time the Beit HaMikdash was around, you were mutar from the morning, from Netzach Chama, v'aktiv ad aviyachem. What about the fact that the Pasuk says, until you bring the Omer? What are they going to do with that? The mitzvah. That's just a mitzvah. There are two ways to view what a mitzvah is. The Balei Tosafot over here say, mashma de'ika asei d'oraita el delek elav, seem to indicate the mitzvah means that it is a mitzvah asei, which means that you will violate an asei if you eat before the Omer, But the lav, or the restriction, drops away. You still have a mitzvah to say, which is to wait until after the omer is brought in order to eat the chodosh. Tosafot earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Hem Vetch, it says here in the notes, you can see the sort of shots on the side, Dafilo asei lecha ela mitzvah ba'almat. Seemed to indicate that it wasn't even an asei. A mitzvah is just, it's mitzvah min amuchar. It's a nice thing to do. It's the right thing to do. That's the proper way to do the mitzvah. But it is not ma'akev, not as a lotasei, not as an asei, in terms of waiting for the omer. Now, the Gemara challenges this view of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish from our Mishnah and other Tanaic quotes. Mishikarei v'omer hutar chadash miyad. That's our Mishnah. Again, they answer, l'mitzvah. Yes, you're supposed to wait, but that doesn't mean that there's nisur chadash. Omer haya matir b'mdina, ushtei alechem b'migdash, is a Mishnah that's upcoming, that the omer is matir chadash outside of the Beit HaMikdash, and ushtei alechem are matir chadash in the Mikdash. Again, l'mitzvah. It's not an absolute requirement. It is just either mitzvah d'asei or mitzvah min mukhar, as we saw in the Balei HaTosafot. So now, mishchara beit hamikdash, hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she'enuim haneif kulo asur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai put in place this takana that the entire day of the 16th should be asur. So my taima, what's the reasoning? Mehira yibane beit hamikdash, because bezrat Hashem, the beit hamikdash would be built speedily in our day. Biyomru eshtakad, last year, ilo achanu be'er mizrach, last year we ate when the sun broke on the eastern horizon. Hashanami Nechol. And so this year too, we should do that. Below Yadin, they don't realize the Eshtekad Ova Omer. Last year there was no Omer, therefore Heri Mizrach Matir. When the sun rose, that was Matir. Bahashtadika Omer, Omer Matir. Now that we have the Omer should be Matir. Now the Gemara says, Isakadat Chol Mitzvah. If you think the whole reason was a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah min mukhar. Why would you put a gzeirat chachamim in place for something that's simply a mitzvah? So Tosfot over here in the previous amud says, well, if it's a lav, then it makes sense to put in place a takana to protect against misinformation in the following year. But if it's an asei, there's no reason to put a gzeira in place, or according to the Tosfot earlier in the Masechta, there's not even an asei associated with it. To put a takana in place for something that is just a mitzvah min ha-mukhar doesn't make sense. According to Rav and Shmuel, we have a real isur before the omer is brought, then you can understand why you would put in such a takana. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak answers Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai b'shitat Rav Yehuda Amra. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says this in the shita of Rav Yehuda. This quote in the Gemara is brought out of context. In the other Gemarot, like in Sukkah, there was an intervening conversation that took place, and you can see that in the Balei Tosafot over here. He says that this answer of Nachman Yitzchak was because they were pressed against the wall to answer this. What pressed them against the wall? That is because in the Gemara in Sukkah, for instance, it says, Mechatzot Hayom V'Alan Lishtaret. According to this view, why can't it be mutar from noon and onwards? Even according to Rav and Shmuel, who say that in the time of Beit HaMikdash, you had to wait for the Omer, we know that the Mishnah says the Omer never was brought after Chatzot. So now, your options are, Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, Heir Mizrach is Mutar, both according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Rav and Shmuel. The question is, what happened at the time of Beit HaMikdash? Rav and Shmuel said you have to wait for the Omer. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said you don't have to wait for the Omer. It's a mitzvah min mufkar, it's a mitzvah d'asei, but you don't have to wait for it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along and puts in a takana. The takana says the whole day is asur. But what does that have to do with the Beit HaMikdash? Even at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, the whole day wasn't asur. The most they got to was ad chatzot. Even Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who's saying like Rav and Shmuel, that the Omer is matir, that still didn't happen after chatzot. So if you're worried about the Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt and the Omer being brought, just be oseret until chatzot. After chatzot, you shouldn't have any problem. So that's where Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak comes in the Gemara in Sukkah, because now he has to come up with a different answer. Our Gemara skips that little piece, and then goes straight to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who says, Yochanan ben Zakkai b'shita Rav Yehuda Amra. Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rav Yehuda, d'amar min ha-Torah asur, who in our Mishnah says that min ha-Torah, midoraita, it's asur all day, sh'nemar ha-etzem ha-yom hazeh, ad itzumo shel yom, until the fullness of the day, the entirety of the day has passed. The expression is also used by Yom HaKippurim, that itzumo shel yom mechaper, the day itself is mechaper with regards to Yom HaKippurim. So to over here, aditz moshoyom means the day itself. The entirety of the day has to pass. Kesavar ad v'ad bichlal. Ad etzem hayom hazeh means until this day, but including that day, ad ve'ad bichlal, until etzem hayom hazeh, including etzem hayom hazeh means the entire day. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, now you understand why he has to say it's asur all day, because it's asur midoraita all day. The other problem arises from this is what the Balei HaTosafot asks. Tema minalo the Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon Lakish to polik shumtan alei the Rabbi Yehuda. Tzkami apis ma'amit ha'migdash kayam ha'irim mizrach matir. Who are they relying on then? Because until now we assume that they were leaning on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who implies that Heir Mizrach is Mutar, and then there was a Takana in place because of the Omer. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in essence, argues in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Asur midoraita all day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, it's not. And that also would even be a question in Rabban Shmuel. Is my chain bait to Migdash Kayam? Where do they have any source for the fact that Beheir Mizrach, it's Mutar, when all the Tanaim hold it's Asur midoraita kol hayom kulo. So the Shita Mikubetz and an Obet brings an answer, Veish Lamar. Came to Kimna time da'ocha ba'ad ba'ad bichlal. Who, since we set up the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda as being ad ba'ad bichlal, ad etzem hayom hazeh means including that day, and we find many Tanaim in Shas that hold ad v'lo ad bichlal, so then they will argue on Rabbi Yehuda, because if you believe ad v'lo ad bichlal, then they will not accept Rabbi Yehuda's position that it goes all the way through the day, but rather here in Mizrach. And therefore we do find Tanaim with an opposing position, not in this particular Mishnah, but in the underlying reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Rabbi Shmuel will rely on for their opinions if you say that everybody in the Mishnah thinks it's deoraita. The obvious problem, which the Gemara is going to address in a second, is, didn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say it's a takana? And Rabbi Yehuda says it's midoraita. What do you need a takana for if it's a din deoraita? Does he really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? He argues on him. That's not Mishkara Beit HaMikdash. Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyumanet kulo asur. He says it's a takana. He doesn't say it's deoraita. So Rabbi Yehuda lo mina Torah hu asur. And Rabbi Yehuda responds to him, isn't it asur midoraita? Dichtiv aritz meyom hazeh. Where it says Rabbi Yehuda hu dekatoi. Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Hu savar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai midrabanan kamar. He thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made midrabanan. Velohi midoraita kamar. He really meant it's mina Torah. Vahitkin tani. It's a good reason why Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, hitkin. It says that he put in a takana. Ma hitkin? Darash vitkin. The hitkin is not a takana, but rather a drasha. He was doresh. What does ad etzem hayom hazeh mean? Vitkin, and therefore he established that the Easter lasts all day because ad etzem hayom hazeh. Okay, so now the Gemara continues with the psak of the Amoraim, which raises major issues with regards to Chadash. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, B'rei de Rav Yeshua, Achlei Chadash, Be'urta de Shitzar, Nagei Shibzar. They used to eat Chadash on the night after the 16th, that is the 17th. So after the 16th of Nisan had finished, had passed, then they already began to eat Chadash. Now remember, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, the fact that they're Rav, is an indication they live in Bavel. We're speaking about those that are dwelling in Bavel, and they said that they started to eat Chodesh after the 16th had cleared on the night of the 17th. Kasavre, they must hold Chodesh. B'chutz el aretz derabanan. The Easter of Chodesh outside of Eretz Yisrael is only derabanan. Ulesfeika lo cheshinen. And we don't worry about a safek. Now, here that's interesting, because when you have something that is asur, and there's a zmana heter, if you just wait, it'll become mutar, we never say sfeika is the heter. Just because you have a safek in something doesn't mean it's mutar, if you can just wait and have it be mutar. So if you really believe that the 17th should have been asur as well, then why didn't they just wait for the 17th? They say, it's a safek, we don't have to wait. What do you mean you don't have to wait? Just because it's a safek, doesn't mean it's mutar. It means that we will be nota l'kula when there's no other reason to believe otherwise. But in a case where if you waited one more day, it'll be mutar l'gamrei, why not wait the extra day? What you have to say here is either that when it comes to sfeika d'yoma, it's really not a sfeika d'yoma because we are experts via the arch already. And like Mari Beitzah says, the reason we keep a second day of Yom Tov is min ha'gavuteinu b'yadeinu. That's the way the practice was from the past. Shema yachzor ha'davar l'kul kulo. Maybe it'll go back to the way where they'll lose track and they won't know, or there'll be uncertainty. So they have the practice of keeping 2 days because of that. But that's only a min ha'gavuteinu b'yadeinu. It's not a real safek. And therefore, when it comes to a halacha d'rabbanan, d'av chadash, they said, No problem. You can eat it on the night after the 16th, going into the 17th. You don't have to wait the extra day of Sfeika Diyoma. That's one way to view it. Or you have to say that Chodosh is an independent mitzvah. The Sfeika over here is not a Sfeika of Adorash Yeshua Matirim, because the Sfeik is in the Yom. The Chodosh and the Yoshan are not the issue of Sfeik over here. The Sfeik is in the Yom, and the Yom next year is going to be Asur as well. I mean, that Sfeik of the Yom is going to persist over and over again. It's a Adorash Yeshua Matirim Shechuzer Le'isuro. And because of that, it doesn't have the normal trappings of a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And therefore we would say, Sfeika de Rabbanon the Kula over here. Verabbanon de Bei Rav Ashi, Achlu B'tzafra de Shivsar. They used to wait until the morning of the 17th. Kasare Chodosh B'chutz Laretz de Oraita. They think Chodosh outside of Eretz Yisrael is Min HaTorah. Verab Yochanan Ben Zakkai mi de Rabbanan Kamar. And Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai's Takana is not mi de Oraita. It's mi de Rabbanan, like you would have assumed in the Mishnah, the way it reads in its simplest form. V'chi talking the Yom HaNeif, the Sveika lo talking. When he put the Takana in for Zecha the Mikdash, he only put it in with regards to the day that is Vadai, the day. Sveika the Yom, he didn't put the Takana in place. So therefore, when it comes to Doraita, we said, Heir Mizrach, that once the sun rises on that day, Kodesh is Mutar. So truthfully, even in Eretz Yisrael, on the morning of the 16th, at sunrise, it would have been Mutar. Yochanan Ben Zakkai comes along and says, no, wait the whole day. We have to block out the whole day. You have to wait till the night of after the 16th. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have a Sfeika de Yoma. We don't know if it's the 16th or it's the 17th. So they wait until the morning of the 17th, where Midoraita, for sure, you're clear. Whether it's the 16th or the 17th, now you're clear. What about Takanat of Yochanan Ben Zakkai? What they point out is that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai put his takana in place for places where it was badai that this is the time of the Omer. The Sfeika of the Yoma, he didn't put his takana in place. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they waited until the end of the 16th. In Chutz Laaretz, they only waited till the morning of the 17th, which would be the Doraita if it was Sfeika of the Yoma. Amar Ravina, Amar Li'aim. Ravina says, my mother told me, Avuch lo avayechil chodosh, el ba'utar de shivsar, Nage Tamnesar. Obviously, he lost his father, and his mother is telling him what his father's practice was, which was to eat Chadash only after the 17th had passed. The night after the 17th, going into the 18th. He waited both. He kept the Sfeika de Yoma, and didn't eat, not on the 16th, not on the 17th, not till it came into the 18th. The Sabar Laki Rabbi Yehuda. He passes like Rabbi Yehuda, which means that it's kol hayom kulo is asur mida oraita and sfeika de yoma. He's choshesh for the sfeika de yoma because now we're dealing on a doraita level. It's not takanat Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. It's an isur doraita, and therefore he keeps the sfeika de yoma. We say don't eat on the 16th, don't eat on the 17th, and then he only ate on the night after the 17th, going into the 18th. So here you have three positions amongst the Amoraim. And the truth is that Rav Ashi and Ravina are betrothed. They are the later of the Amoraim, and generally we would paskin like those later Amoraim, which would mean that we believe, first of all, Chodosh in Chutz Laaretz is Mida Oraita, and number two is that we would be Choshesh for Sfeika de Yoma. That means in Chutz Laaretz, Chodosh would only become Mutar after you finish both the 16th and the 17th when it has entered into the 18th. That would be on the surface what you would garner from the conclusion of the Gemara over here. So now, the issue of Chodosh, which, interesting enough, in Eretz Yisrael has almost completely been eliminated, and that is because any of the mills that mill in Eretz Yisrael are makpid on Yoshan, because otherwise they won't be able to get a Tudat Kashrut, and they can't sell to anyone, so therefore they all are makpid on Yoshan, and the Rabbanut in general will not give a Tudat Hekshir to anything that's not Yoshan, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael, anything that's under the kashrut organizations in Eretz Yisrael is badai yashan, and you don't have any chodosh. There's still a little bit of a problem in Eretz Yisrael because of imports. They bring things from Chutz Laaretz, and therefore you still have the issues of chodosh in Chutz Laaretz that apply in Eretz Yisrael. But generally, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't bump into these problems. In Chutz Laaretz, you still bump into the problem of chodosh, and the question is, why is it that in Chutz Laaretz, people are not so makbid on Chodosh and Yoshan versus in Eretz Yisrael where they're completely makbid on it and there's no questions that everything here is Yoshan. So the question really develops from the psukim themselves, a machloket tanaim in the Mishnayot, and from that machloket tanaim leads to a machloket in Psak Halacha. that has obvious ramifications with regards to Chodosh b'Chutz La'aretz. We're just going to take some time now just to explain the controversy, the issues that arise. The issue really arises from the Psukim themselves. The Pasuk says, Ki tavoo el ha'aretz, asher ani noten lachem u'ktzartem et ha'ktzira. That's the introduction to the Omer and to the issue of Chadash. It says, Ki tavoo el ha'aretz, which makes it sound like it's an issue of the Aretz. It's an issue of Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah hatzvuya ba'aretz. And therefore, it would only apply within Eretz Yisrael. And tzvua that's grown in Eretz Yisrael. But the pasuk at the end of that part about the Omer says, V'lechem v'karli v'karmel lo toklu eretz ha'mayom hazeh, arav yachem et korban alokechem, chukat olam ledorotechem b'chol moshvotechem. Both of those phrases of chukat olam ledorotechem and b'chol moshvotechem seem to indicate that it's irrespective or independent of Eretz Yisrael. It says, B'chol Moshvotechem, anywhere you live, this issue arises. That turns out to be a machloket tanaim that's found in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, as to whether Chodosh is a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz, and that the Mishnah says, Kol mitzvah shituya ba'aretz, enu noheged ela ba'aretz. Any mitzvah that's tied to the land only has application in the land of Israel with produce from the land of Israel. And that would seem to be an open and shut case. But there's a dissenting opinion in the Mishnah in Masechet Kedushim, and that is certain halachot that are tuyot ba'aretz still apply in Chutz La'aretz. And that is Orla and Kilayim. Orla and Kilayim have application outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then we have Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ach Min HaChadash. Even Chadash has application outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Kedushim basically brings their machloket as to how to read Ki Tavoo El Ha'aretz versus B'chol Moshvotechem. Rabbi Eliezer believes Ki Tavoo El Ha'aretz is when the mitzvah starts. The mitzvah will start when you come into the land of Israel. But it applies B'chol Moshvotechem. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe that the mitzvah only applies Ba'aretz, Ki Tavoo El Ha'aretz, and B'chol Moshvotechem comes to teach you that it's not just when you enter into the land of Israel, it's only after Kibbutz V'chiluk. It's only after you settle in the land of Israel, and that's what it means, B'chol Moshvotechem. So it's an open machloket tanaim in the Mishnah and the Gemara in Kiddushin. You have the Dat HaChachamim, who say that it's a mitzvah tuya ba'aretz, therefore it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. And you have Rabbi Eliezer says it's applicable even outside of Eretz Yisrael. There we have a machloket between Yachid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim. Seems like an open and shut case, that the halacha should be like the Chachamim here, and Chodesh should have no application outside of Eretz Yisrael. The problem that arises is, there are two Stam Mishnayot in Shas, one of which is found in Masechet Orla, and in Masechet Orla, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tet, there's a Stam Mishnah that says, speaking about Safek Orla Beretz Yisrael, speaking about Kilei HaKerem and Orla, which we just spoke about, that they have application outside of Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of that Mishnah it says, Chadash Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Chadash is Asur Min HaTorah everywhere. Orla Ve'alocha, the Orla is Alocha L'moshe Mi'Sinai, Ba'kilayim is Asur Mi'Dibrei Sofrim Mi'Derabanan. So you have here three different areas of Alocha, and it says Chodosh is Osur Min HaTorah, Orla is Alocha L'moshe Mi'Sinai, and Kilayim is Mi'Derabanan. So you have three Alochot that apply outside, and the Mishnah says, Stam Mishnah, that Chodosh is Osur Min HaTorah outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Number two is we have a Mishnah later on in Masechet Menachot, which we'll get to where we can discuss this issue again. That's on Daf Pei Gimel. It says, Korbanot Tzibur V'Yachid B'Min HaAretz U'Mechutz La'aretz. You can bring the produce or whatever the source is, can be in or out of Eretz Yisrael. Min HaChadash U'Min HaYashan. It can be brought from the new grain, the old grain. Chutz. The exception is Min HaOmer U'Shtei Alechem. That they have to be in and by Ela Min HaChadash U'Min HaAretz. They can only be brought from Chadash, and they can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Ad kan lo plige ele b'chodosh. They only argue about chodosh, but aretz lo plige. To omer shtei lechem, me eretz in, me chutz aretz lo. Meaning that one who believes it has to come from chodosh, believes it has to come from Eretz Yisrael, because chodosh is only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. There is a dissenting opinion, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that chodosh applies in chutz aretz midoraita, and according to him, you can even bring the Shtei Lechem Neomer from Chutz La'aretz. Where you see from that is that Habah Talio, that wherever there is Nisur Chodosh Midoraita, that's where it's mutter to bring the Omer and the Shtei Lechem from. And our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah Menachot, says that you have to bring the Shtei Lechem Neomer from Eretz Yisrael, emir chodosh, implying that you can only find chodosh in Eretz Yisrael. So now you have two stam mishnayot, one of which seem to indicate that chodosh has application outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that it obviously has huge impact, because that means that chodosh has application not just in Eretz Yisrael, also in Chutz La'aretz. And on top of that, the Tosefta seems to make it clear, and Yerushalmi as well, that it applies not only to Jewish grains, but it applies to non-Jewish grains as well. Irrespective of who planted it, irrespective of whose property it is, Chodosh applies. That's both true in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. That means that even non-Jewish grains in Chutz La'aretz are subject to the issue of Chodosh and Yoshan. And the truth is that the Rif Paskins, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Afa Kadash, V'kaimalon to Rabbi Lazar, the Stamlan Tanakavate, because there's a Stam Mishnah like him, that's not a Chadash Usur Min HaTorah, he quotes the Stam Mishnah from Orla. The Rav Yah, also over here, spends a lot of time speaking about this, and says, similarly, that this is a Din De'oraita, and a Din De'oraita that applies, first of all, in Chutz La'aretz, and number two is, even to non-Jewish grains. And therefore, you see from the Rif, the Rav Yah, that they believe that Chodosh applies in Chutz La'aretz. You have a dissenting opinion in the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, who quotes the Rav Yah and the poskim that come before him, and writes, "Benir ve'enai, ani mechaber livso kalocho de Chodosh Chutz La'aretz derabonon." That the Chodosh of Chutz La'aretz is only derabonon. And one of his major proofs is the fact that we have a Stam Mishnah in Menachot and a Stam Mishnah in Orla. You're going to favor the one in Menachot because that's topically relevant versus Orla, where it's not topically relevant, and will give more credence to the Stam Mishnah in Menachot. And the Stam Mishnah in Menachot seems to indicate that by Chutz La'aretz it's only a din derabonon. Usfeika derabonon lekula. When you have a sefek mi derabanan, you can go lekula. So therefore, the produce in Chutz La'aretz is a sefek, and because it's a sefek, you can go lekula because Chodesh is only derabanan. And he writes here for two. As to whether Chodosh is Deoraita Derabanan. And the Gemara never gives a definitive psak, not about the Tanaim, not about the Amoraim. This becomes one of the most important factors here. We would be in big trouble. It's Shatat Chak. D.F. Shalosh, Shalodik notes, Vaminakum. We have to buy grains from the non-Jews. We don't have sufficient food unless we purchase from the non-Jews. Idan l'smoch astam mishnah v'tanaim v'morim d'savrei chodesh chutz la'aretz d'rabbonon. We have to rely on those mishnayot that seem to indicate that chodesh is chutz la'aretz d'rabbonon. V'lo chashin an esfeika. We don't worry about a safek. He says that because of those two factors, one is it's a shatat chak. Number two is the Gemara never comes to a conclusion. Therefore, we could conclude maybe that it's Chodosh in Chutz La'aretz is Derabbanan, and it's a Sofek, Sofek Derabbanan the Kula. But at the end he writes, Ela Vadai Otam Yisraelim, Sheishlem Sadot B'Chutz La'aretz, Jews who have fields in Chutz La'aretz, B'Choshim La'achar HaPesach, and they only plant after Pesach, Zorim Kortzim Ha'itva Vadai Asura, that for sure is Asur, He Achimol Pesach L'Shan Haba, Yitzvena Her HaMizrach, Kach Nir Be'enai, because there you know for sure, it's no longer a Sofek Derabbanan, that is a Vadai Derabbanan. And if you hold it's Derabbanan, they know that it's Chodosh. And therefore you can't rely on it. The Rambam Paskins, it comes to Chodosh, it's also in Chutz La'aretz mi De'oraita, and he says, Lokei min ha-Torah v'chol makom, v'chol zman, ben ba'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz, ben b'fnei ha-bayit, ben shelo b'fnei ha-bayit. Whether the Mikdash is extant, not extant, Chodosh has application everywhere in the world, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. The Rosh, over here, quotes, he says, first of all, Chodesh Noeg B'Shel Kanani, Chodesh applies to non-Jews, and then he brings the Rabbeinu Baruch. The Re in Kiddushin brings the Rabbeinu Baruch, who says the following, Divrei Rabbeinu Baruch Ma'od Heim Tmuim. The Rosh, in explaining or refuting the view of the Rabbeinu Baruch, says, what he says, that it makes no sense. Shekotov, this is what Rabbeinu Baruch wrote, Afilum Gadla B'Shut Yisrael Ata B'Chutz La'aretz, even if the grains grow to Jews in Chutz La'aretz, Einanus Mukhim Eretz Yisrael. We don't live close to Eretz Yisrael, near El Hatir. Therefore, Chodosh is Mutar. The Lo Gazru, Afilu Mid Rabbanan. Even if you believe that there is an Easter of Chodosh Mid Rabbanan in Chutz La'aretz, they only do it Dumi De Maser. They only did it like Maser. The Lo Gazru, Ela B'Chutz La'aretz, Smukha Eretz Yisrael. Just like by Maestro Din Trumot, for Ammon, Moab, maybe Mitzrayim, those areas that were adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, Syria, they, Rabbanim were goes there, they have to be mafish Trumot and Masrot, Midr Rabbanan, because of the movement of produce from one to the other, and so that people don't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to those areas adjacent because they don't have to give Trumot and Masrot, or they don't have to be Noach Shvi'it. Therefore, the Chachamim instituted that those areas have to give Trumot and Masrot. But those were only the areas adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Baruch claims that even if you believe that Chodosh has application in the Chutzaretz, because there's a Din D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan made that institution the same way they made Trumot and Masrot, which was that they only did it for lands that were adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rosh, in the Shut HaRosh, Klal Bet, Siman Aleph, says about that Rabbeinu Baruch that he thinks it is Tzmiyah, and he says that he doesn't believe that that is the case, and he brings evidence to that. And now he says, V'atah l'knei Pesach natata libi. The Rosh says, I did a survey. I went before Pesach. Yan she'inui shalem haya b'prusa Pesach. Because their inui was also on Prusa Pesach, in the middle of Pesach, which means their holiday fell out around that same time. V'gam et agarid haya lo yakul lachrosh. The earth was still frozen or solid, and there was no way to plow the ground. Umiuta de miuta nizrul lifnei Pesach. If anybody planted before Pesach, it is a minority of a minority. It is really not substantial, those that planted before. V'lo melani li bi lesor. I couldn't bring myself to make it a sor. Ulai lo yishma'u li. He's afraid that the people will not listen to him. Meaning that the Rosh has good experience with this. He's done a number of things that Takanot put in place, and the people were not necessarily receptive all the time. And he feels that it's risky to do this. V'ani meshiv l'sholim. I say to people who ask about this, Darshumil de'adama, go ask the farmers. Im yamru sharob nizra lifnei omer, they tell you that the majority was planted before the omer, mutar, because then you can be somech on the rov. Bim lav, asur. But gamani zachor mi neurai, says, I remember from my childhood, the kvar pamim shalosh, two or three times, shinu eshlem ayav apusa Pesach, that Pesach and their inui fell out at the same time, Shuvotai nahugu isur, that my rebbeim also were oser v'chadash. But they didn't give an open psak l'isur. V'hasimichna, that's what I'm relying on. V'ni more isur, so I don't say it publicly. Mutav shiu shogegim v'chareid yifrosh. Better that people are shogegim with regards to this matter, but anybody who is chareid al dvar Hashem should make sure to not eat this stuff because chodesh does apply. So inherently the Rosh believes, asur midoraita, says, if you believe it's asur midorabbanan, and you're somech on this Rabbeinu Baruch, he thinks Rabbeinu Baruch is wrong, but even without the Rabbeinu Baruch, if there is a situation where the robe of the grain was in the ground before Pesach, that's fine. But if you don't have that, that's problematic. He won't pass that out loud because he's afraid that people won't listen. But he believes here that there is a problem of Chodosh, except in situations where there is what he calls a sfeik, sveika. Sfeik, whether it was last year's grain or this year's grain. Even if you think it was planted this year, Shema Yishrish Kol Mene Omer says maybe it was planted rooted before the Omer. Ve'enkan Yisro Chadash Klal. Quotes in the name of his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg, that a fake speka like that is not applicable because it's a Dovar Sheyesh Lo Matirim. And a Dovar Sheyesh Lo Matirim is a Filu Be'elofenu Batil. But the Maharam Rutenberg learns Chut on those that drink beer, which is the major issue here, was the beverage consumption that was made from this chodosh. And over there he says that it's batel b'shishim, because of the water that's used over here, that creates bitul b'shishim. And even though it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, that's only a problem when it's min b'mino. But min she'en mino, even if it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, it is batel. That's the suggestion of the Maharam Rutenberg. Although the Rosh rejects that, saying that he thinks that these se'orim are the ikar of the beer, and the Tosafot in Psachim even speculates that we should make a brocha bori pri adama on beer and not shehakol because the seorim are the ikar. But he goes back and suggests that the real reason here is it's a sveik sveika. And when do we say that a sveik sveika, the davar sheyesh lo matirim, is not mutar? That's in a case where there's isur mi'uravbo, when we know for certain that something asur got mixed up, and now we have a sveik, and then another sveik on top of that. But over here, where we have no idea whether there's any Isur here whatsoever, in that situation, we would say, Sveik Sveika,
leheter.
That's what he says in conclusion of Al-Khadash, Deloy Tchazek Isura, since there's no chazaka, or there's no definitive Isura here, Misvek Sveka Sharina and Bishar Shanim. And every other year where we know that they planted before Pesach, or the rogue planted before Pesach, in that situation, we will say Sveik Sveika is mutar, and again, except in situations or cases where you have evidence that nobody could plant before that time, or the majority couldn't plant before that time, which presents a much stronger issue according to the Rosh. The Mordechai also is explicit about this. It says, Achadash asur min haTorah b'kol makom. Chadash is asur min haTorah everywhere. V'hochi ilkata. That's the halacha, because we have a Stam Mishnah in Orla that says this. So then how do we buy beer from the non-Jews? Then we don't worry about Chadash at all. And maybe they didn't root beforehand. We rely on the fact that the barley that's used as the hops for the beer mostly rooted before the Omer. Inami mushanim neishnatayim, meaning that it was from 2 years ago grain. Avalei sveik sveika, and therefore it's a sveik sveiko. Miuta d'miuta, and a very small minority. Below chashinan, v'chein makom shofim lechem sorim sechinan aruba. And also, when you get barley bread, we rely on the rope. So he makes it clear that first of all, it's osur midoraita, and number two is he thinks that the reason we are allowed to eat it is because of the fact that most or the majority of whatever is planted here goes into the ground beforehand. Now, the issue comes even more pronounced as the Jews in Europe move further and further north, which is that when they're in areas that are south, and I'm going south now, the areas of southern Poland and Spain, Germany, those areas, there you have a possibility that the grain was in the ground before the Omer. As you start to move further and further north, the problem is that the ground, as we saw by the Rosh, is frozen at the time they want to plant. So as you move into northern Poland and into Russia, then the land, it's impossible that the land stuff was planted beforehand, and you start to lose this safek that really exists, or this ruba that exists. And that's what you start to see in the tshuvot that come about. The Trumat Hadeshen has a tshuva. Shaila. Yeshanim nitsu bezmanenu sheshelag v'kerach shuhe al pnei haaretz samuch l'mei haPesach. It is ice and snow on the ground all the way up to Pesach. Not even a minority can plant that time. They sorim and the shibulat shalom kodem yom aneif before the day of the Omer. Do you have to worry about that or not to drink the beer because of Isur Chodosh? So that's the question that was posed to the Trumat Hadeshen. He basically leans on the fact that mutav shiv shogegim yaltu meitzidim. The majority of the people drink beer and not wine, and it's a staple product. We can't come and make it asur, and he uses that logic that we saw before. The Bach is the big defender of those people that eat Chodosh and Chutz Laretz, and the Bach goes through a lot of trouble to show that he says, Amnan, Aminak Pashud Ma'akutenu Lignod Heter. That in our, everywhere we live, the Bach says, everybody's Matir. Va'ach Dolei HaTorah, Shayu Lefaneinu, all the Dolei HaTorah, Rabbeinu Shachna, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Luria, Betami Dehem, Lo Yasrim, Shotim, Sheikhash, Asamit Vash, Lo Tira Omer. They used to drink beer from hops that came from things that were after the Omer. Zulat Mitzad Chasidim Ikarov. These new Chasidim that's Izarubi Isser Zeh. Don't do it. Vanibi Mechorfi, Lamdi Mesek Kedushim, Lifnei Shloshim Shana. When I was in my young and sharp stage, when I had learned Kedushim for 30 years, something libili ayin bo razu. I wanted to look into this matter. For eiti sheina alacha psuka, that it's not such a clear alacha. Shalte the mora gadol mareno rabbeinu lipa bar bitzalel. It's at the panav mashaleti bimitsudati. And I showed him what my idea was. Gam lifnei shirar gadolei haTorah. Also in front of all the other gadolei haTorah. But amish satari dvarai. And nobody objected to what I said. B'zeh asher katavti al divrei haTosafot. And this is what I wrote. And he explains over here. He claims that the Isur Chodosh does not apply to non-Jews. That even if you believe that there's an Isur Chodosh outside of Eretz Yisrael, still it does not apply to non-Jewish produce. And in that way, he gives a tremendous heter for the issues of Chodosh, where the majority of grains in Chutz Laretz come from non-Jews. If non-Jews aren't subject to Chodosh, then you won't have a problem. He says, Aval Pina Tadi came into right to any Sur B'Shel Goyim, and he can take the land of Sur Me'er Abanan. He says, why would you say there's Nisr Darabonan on the grains of non-Jews when there's no Nisr D'Oraita? We never see the Gemara saying such a thing. And therefore, he believes it's all associated with Jews, not non-Jews. And that leads to him to a huge hit there. He says, about Chodosh, Sheinu Asur B'Shel Goyim Afilu Ba'aretz, that even non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have a din of Chodosh. M'ktiv Katsir Chem, that's your Katsir and not the Katsir of the Goyim. If that's the case, then Goyim are never Asurim. V'chein Ein L'Shum Gadol Horot Ho'ra'a L'Yisr, Hefek HaMinhag, Shinagu Al-Pik Dolei Yisrael Heter. No Gadol should come along and make it Asur against the Heterium of all the Gadolei Yisrael and the Minhag that we practice here. Mishu Vazeh L'Achmila Atzmo Midat Chasiduru. If you want to do it for yourself, that's a Midat Chasidut. V'lo Yoreh L'Acherim. But he shouldn't pass them for others. The lo leite the insuye, so people don't get into fights. The dafa mishu gal b'sharp kishutu mufursam lechassid rashalin hog lisur gamazu. The only people that are noeg isurim and chassidut and other areas of aloha should do it over here. Otherwise, it's mechzeik yehura. So he is the big defender of the rights of individuals to eat chodosh and chutzlaretz based on the minhag that he had to practice. And that's based on his shita that Chodesh does not apply to non-Jews. In the Shuta Rama, that's the Rav Moshe Isler is, nearly, the Ein Lachush Kokach. We don't have to worry about Chodesh. Kokach, Tarei Kol Chodesh, Bezman HaZein, Ola Sveika Derabonon. All Chodesh today is only a Sveik Midrabanan, Daf, Im Badai Asur, Bato Berov Alma Midoraita. Even if you think it is Asur, it's Bato Berov of everything else Midoraita. Kol Shekin, Kol Chodesh, Bezman HaZein, Ola Chumra Baalma. It's only a Chumra. He quotes, similar to the idea of the Bach, obviously it's before the Bach, this idea that the Rov HaOlam is not careful about this, and only those people that are Prushim, and therefore he thinks that that's not an issue. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, Yisro Chadash Noeg, Ben Baretz, Ben Mechutz Laaretz, Ben Bishrael, Ben Shel, Ovdei Kochavim. Whereas the Ramah paskins over there, Haggah, and Siv Gimel, Mekom, Stam Tvua Shari Lachar HaPesach. We call it Sveik Sveika. He brings the Sveik Sveika that the Rosh and the Aruch HaShulchan later on will defend that Sveik Sveika. Things that they definitely plant after a Pesach. Ash yesh la hachmir achar hakatzir. Then you should be machmir. Unless the doors of the area are not open, meaning that there's free-flowing Tvuah. Rova Tvuah ba mimakom acher shezorim kodem a Pesach. He says, if you're in a self-contained area where all the grains come from that area and you know they planted after Pesach, then you have a problem. But if we don't know they planted after Pesach, or even if they planted after Pesach, but there's a lot of trade that brings in imports and exports, and the imports come from areas that did plant before Pesach, then it all turns into a safek or a sfek according to him, and it is mutar. And that is when zmani motochor from shochim la'achar Pesach. Then in cases where the Choref extends way into after Pesach, those cases you have to be machmir, elim kain, there's free trade that moves amongst them. And Shlo writes in his Sharot Yod also, I've taught Torah everywhere. There's a big difference between different places. They're in the warmer places. That maybe the majority there was planted before the Omer. Majority, by large majority, are planted after the Omer because they can't get it into the ground. The ground's frozen. They don't plant till much later. To be matter in those areas because there is trade that goes on. That's a falsity that doesn't have any basis. There's not enough trade. It's not enough movement of grain to say that the majority of the grain here came. Adraba. They are suppliers to other places. They're not importing, they're exporting. Alkeim b'nai yitz'u. Should be very careful about this mitzvah and keep the mitzvah of Chodosh. You see the Shlo making it clear that there is a big difference between different areas. And the Taz in Yoredeh, Simon Reish Tzadi Gimel, speak about the issues of Shatat Chak, And that in desperate situations, we can rely on the dat that was rejected, la halacha, especially in a situation where the Gemara never declares a clear halachic path in this situation. The Shach relies on the idea that maybe Shechar Bir does not have a din like Seor. Rabbi Kiva Eger over here quotes that maybe the Sveika that the Ramah and the Rosh are relying on is really not a Sveika, because that's not called a Sveika. The subject is, was it in the ground before the Omer or not in the ground before the Omer? That's really the only question. You tell me it's a Sveika, is it the old grain, the new grain? Or if it's the new grain, was it in the ground before or not? That's the same question. Is it before the Omer or is it not before the Omer? And therefore he does not see this as a Sveika, and does not subscribe to those that are makil because of Sveika, but rather says that it's a single Safek. And the Aruch HaShulchan then spends a lot of time trying to learn early in the Heter, and he defends the Sveika that the Rosh quotes and that the Ramah brings in the end. He says, there's a difference between the Sveikot. You can't bring the Omer from it if it's from last year. If it's from this year, maybe we may know it's a Omer. Because it came from a harvest that's closer to the Omer. The Aruch HaShulchan says there is an Afkamina between the two Sveikot, because whether it was from last year or whether it was from this year before the Omer, it has a difference as whether you can bring it for the Omer, because it's Chodosh, or you can't bring it for the Omer. And any time that slight nuance of a difference, that can be classified as a fake Sveika. But then he mentions again, B'chol Dvarim Elu B'Ashkenaz U'Polin, Asamuchla, the Rov HaShanim Nizrim Kodem HaPesach. That's because they mostly plan for Pesach. V'al B'mido Teinu M'dinat Rusya, Ein Kach Sveik Klal. There is no Sveik. The Lefnei Pesach, Ein Adayim Zman Zeria Klal. You can't plant at all. Lo B'mikre Rechoka, Pam Lesrim Shana. Once in 20 years can you plant before Pesach. You can't invoke the principle of Mutam Shiyu Yusogim, it's an Yisra Mina Torah. The Aruch HaShulchan looks through all of these different reasons and really rejects them one by one, but recognizes that he's in a terrible bind. Because in the areas where he lives, the people are dependent on the Seor and the drinks that come from the Seor. And if they were to be makbid on Chodosh and Yoshan, it's kimat impossible, and it makes their lives miserable beyond belief. So then the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Or Zarua that we mentioned before, who says that when it comes to Chutz La'aretz, it is only a din derabbanan. And then in combination with the Or Zarua and the Rabbeinu Baruch, the Aruch HaShulchan then comes to the conclusion that the din of Chodosh only applies to areas around Eretz Yisrael. Or more importantly, he makes a distinction that it only applies to areas where it's even feasible that you could bring the Omer from them, where they have a ktsira, where they have a harvest that's even relatively close to the time of the Omer. But in places like Russia, where he lived, where the harvest happens in Av, it's 8 months before the next Omer, and it's 4 months after the last one, they shouldn't be subject to the issue of Omer or Chodosh in Chutz La'aretz. And based on that, he wants to even be matir Jewish fields in Chutz La'aretz. He says, according to all the other matirim, Jewish fields for sure in Chutz La'aretz are going to be problematic. But according to my heter, even Jewish fields in Chutz La'aretz could be mutarim. So now, the Mishnah Berurah brings Siman Tav Pei Tet, which are in Hilchot HaPesach with regards to Chodosh. He says, kom robo olam en nizrim klal b'Yisro Chadash. The majority of the world doesn't worry about Chodosh. V'yesh lamdu alem zkut l'fishu davar kashe liot zayir b'zeh. Because it's hard. Because of the difficulties, amiksad v'shonim, shosavrim shchadash chutz la'aretz en elam yitim v'yisofrim. So I mean the Rabbanan. Shagazru, Mishum Eretz Yisrael, but Gazru of Makamot HaSmuchim, this is the Rabbeinu Baruch, Eretz Yisrael, Kagon Mitzrayim U'Babel, V'yesham Lohem Tzchut, Shesavrim Chadash, Einu Noeg, Ela B'Tzvosh Yisrael. Others learn, like the Bach, that it only has application to Jews, not to non-Jews. L'fizet Tzarik Lezir L'Yisraelim, Sheishlem Tzvot Zerah B'Sadot Shalem, but that means for those Jews that do have Tzvot in their Sadot, Shenug Ba'Yisu Chadash, they definitely need to worry about Chodosh. V'yay Af Shem Adinu Limchot V'yadam Ekilim. We can't stop those people that are makil. Mikomakom kobal nefesh lo yismoch al haheterim. Halalo, you shouldn't rely on these. Yachmir latzmoch kol mashefsher lo. A person should be as careful as possible with chodesh b'chutz la'aretz. K'arbeik dolei arishonim hu iser doraita b'chol gavne. It's an iser min ha-Torah. Ukayom So Derek Lavi, Aldat, Misilata Barzel, Kemachitim, and Makomot Rechokim. These days where they bring a lot of the grain on the Misilata Barzel, which means the train tracks, the trains that they bring food. Arachim, Yadua Shabif, Nim, Musia, Imser Harbe, Makomot, Nizruchitim, Mekayitz, that they planted in the summer. Umatsui Sham Chadash, Kimat Yotermina Yashan. And those places, it's almost all Chodash. You can't even find Yashan up there. Yodea Shabba, Kemach Misham, Tzurikli Zair, but Zemi Motachorev. You have to worry about that during the winter time. Because then all the flour at that period of time is definitely chadasha. Not only do you have to worry about Russia, you have to worry about Russia exporting all this wheat, and it's reaching areas where we are, and therefore we're being affected by that wheat, where it's almost kimat kula chadasha. The Beralocha also mentions that some people are mayfield, because they say if you're going to keep chadash, you have to keep all the dinim of chadash, meaning that, and all the chumrot, which means you can't have beer, you can't have whiskey, you can't have kelim that have this stuff in it. You have to be worried about kosho, and therefore it's too hard. So he says that's not a reason not to be oser chodesh. If chodesh is oser, be oser. If you can't keep all the other chumrah that are associated, that's fine. But at least you should be worried about chodesh or bekemah for flour in mainstream areas. Says v'alkei bevaday min aroyim nachun lechosh lezeh lifrosh al kanuim min avaday chadash. Definitely worthwhile to separate from stuff that is vaday chadash. Umeish yitzel atet leibal zeh. If you really try hard, you can definitely get what you need, or you can definitely do it. And Rav Moshe Feinstein also has a tshuva that seems to indicate similarly that with a little bit of effort, people could really figure out Yashan and Chadash. Now, the question is, despite all of this, and all the Siskei Halacha, which lean very heavily in favor of saying that there is Chadash, and Chadash is an issue, we know it because of Shat Adchak. In many places, they tried to be mekel to allow the people, because, again, mutav shishogim yad mesidim, it's the rabbanon, or it's the oraita, they were really in a bind. They had nothing to eat or drink, and therefore they needed some sort of heter, and that's what they relied on. But we don't have a shatat chak. How come we rely on it? And today, in chutzlaretz, it's kimat, most of the kashrut organizations give kashrut certification, and they don't check yoshan, and they never are worried about yoshan at all. Why is that? So that might have to do with historically something that went on in America, which is why the kashrut organizations weren't makbid, and then continued even after that change. And that is because in America, which is quote unquote the breadbasket, it is a, first of all, large producer of grains. Not only a large producer of grains, it produces an excess of what it needs, and it's a large exporter of grains. But that is true today. In the earlier days, America was not exporting much of its wheat. It had something called the Strategic Reserve. And the Strategic Reserve was that they used to silo grains every year in case, quote-unquote, of war or other problems, that the government used to buy up the grains, and then they would release it at a later date. And so what ended up happening was in America, kimat guaranteed before the 1980s that anything that was in the marketplace was yashan, because the new stuff went into the Strategic Reserve, and the old stuff then was released from the Strategic Reserve. So it was almost guaranteed that anything in the marketplace was yashan, and you didn't even have to check. And that might be why many of the kashrut organizations were mekel. That changed in the 1980s when President Reagan allowed there to be quote-unquote humanitarian aid sold to Russia. This is at the breakdown at the end of the Cold War. Until then, we had not traded with Russia. Reagan finally approves exports of grain and wheat to Russia. When he does that, the excess grains that are found in America quickly disappear, because that is now all being exported to Russia. And so what ends up happening is they start to eliminate the Strategic Reserve and reduce it significantly, to the point where now that is no longer true, that the grains that are found or the flour that's found in the marketplace is almost all yashan. It's no longer the case because of the large number of exports that are done from America to Russia, now to China as well. And because of that, the grains that you find turn over much faster, and that means that you don't have that guarantee of yashan. So what ended up happening was that there was a wholesale change in the late 80s with the approval of sales to Russia, and that then changed the dynamic. The other thing that changed the dynamic is when they started to plant two crops of wheat that had summer wheat and winter wheat. The fact that they went to two crops then brought a lot of extra or additional grain into the market that wasn't yashan because of the two planting seasons that started to go on with winter and summer wheat. And that dynamic, when it changed, the kashrut organizations continued to just give their hekshirim as if Nothing had changed, and therefore Chodosh was almost ignored in those areas. You've seen a resurgence today in America and other places to be makrid on Yoshan, and you see many of the bakeries and many of the supermarkets and kosher products have a certification that say that they are Yoshan. It seems like a worthwhile pursuit, given what the Rishonim say over here. I will send out the Mekorot so people who want to look at the list more in depth have a chance to do so. Okay, now we go on with the next Mishnah, and we first quoted this Mishnah earlier in the daf. Omer ya matir b'midina, ushtei lechem b'migdash. The Omer is matir chodosh in the midina, means outside of the migdash. And the shtei lechem on Shavuot do that for the migdash. Emivim menachot u'bikurim u'minchat be'ima, kodem la'omer. You're not allowed to bring any menachot. Rashi, interestingly enough, says about menachot minchat sota. What clearly Rashi is doing that for is because minchat sota comes from the se'orim. So he thinks that the only mincha that you possibly could have brought before the minchat omer is some that came from barley, because you're dealing with so earlier in the season. That's where he says, eminivim menachot means minchat sota. Shittim begubetzit eliminates that from the girsa. U'bikurim u'minchat behema. And Bikurim, as well as Minchat Nesachim, you can't bring those, kodem la'omer, before the Omer. Imevi, if you do bring them, pasul. Question is whether this Isur derives from the fact that we have a dinami mashke Yisrael, that only things that are mutar to the hedyot can be put on the Mizbeach, and over here they're not mutar the hedyot, therefore they can't be put on the Mizbeach. Or, is this an independent Isur related to the Omer, which the Omer says it needs to be the Bikurim, Minchat Bikurim, it needs to be the first thing that's on the Mizbeach, and nothing can come before it on the Mizbeach. And that would then preclude these items, because they are all termed as Bikurim. It says all termed as Bikurim. They can't come before that which is Minchat Bikurim. Call them the Shtei Lechem. If you bring those items before the Shtei Lechem, which is Matir Chodesh in the Mikdash, Lo Yavi, you should not bring them. Im Hevi, if you do bring them, they are Kasher B'diavad. So meaning that the Ikra Alocha is that you have to wait till after the Shtei Lechem. But since the Omer was already brought, that's what allows you over here then to bring them in the Mikdash. Yotim Rabbi Tarfon, Mikakashtilei. So Rabbi Tarfon has the following question. Ma ben kodem la'omer, the kodem shtei lechem. Why is it different before the Omer than it is before the shtei lechem? Amar lefanav Yehuda bar Nechemya. So Yehuda bar Nechemya says to Rabbi Tarfon, Lo yim amart kodem la'omer, shekein lo hutar michlalo. It's a joke. Before the Omer, it wasn't mutar for a joke. Tomar kodem l'shtei lechem, shehutar michlalo, it's a joke. You're going to sit by the Shtei Lechem, where it's already mutar for the Hedyot. So now, the explanation of that could be one of two ways. So then, depending what you think the reason for the Isur is over here, whether the Isur is driven by the fact that there is an Isur Chodosh on that which is on the Hedyot, and an Isur Chodosh on that which is in Mikdash, it's an Isur related to Minchat Bikurim, nothing to do with Mimashke Yisrael, then in that instance, the concept of Hutar Michlalo is the fact that this one Isur of Chodosh is Nitar, you say the Omer for Hedyotot, and therefore it's called Hutar Michlalo. We generally have a principle in the Mikdash that something is Hutar Michlalo, then if you violate that Isur and bring it, then we still allow it to go through or the Korban to be okay. Or, if you think the whole Isur derived from Mimishke Yisrael, things that are Asur LeHedyot can't be placed on the Mizbeach, then over here, it is mutar lehedyot, and there's no longer a restriction of mashke Yisrael. So once you've eliminated the mashke Yisrael problem, then you can bring it on the Mizbeach. Now the katchila, you should wait until after the bikurim of the shtei lechem. But b'diavad, if you put it on, it's going to be kasher now, because there's no longer this restriction of the mashke Yisrael. Shotok Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was silenced by that. Sahuvu panav shel Yehuda ben Nechemya. Yehuda ben Nechemya's face lit up. He was glowing because he had successfully said something to Rabbi Tarfon, who was the God of the door at that time. And he silenced Rabbi Tarfon. Amar lo Rabbi Kiva, Yehuda, Yehuda, Tzavu panecha, sheshavta et hazakein. Your face lit up, you're glowing, because you were able to silence the elderly one, meaning Rabbi Tarfon. Tmiyanim tarich yamim. I'd be surprised if you live a long life. Amar Rabbi Yehuda be Rabbi Eli. That period of time was 2 weeks before Pesach. Pras means half. Pesach means the period of time in which the Sholim and Dorshim Hilchot Pesach, which is 30 days before. So half of that is 2 weeks before Pesach, so it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shaliti Liat Seret, when I went up for Shavuot, Sha'alti Acharav, Yehuda ben Nechemiah Heikanu, where is this Yehuda ben Nechemiah who challenged and silenced Rabbi Tarfon? Gamalei Niftar Malachlo, that he passed away in that period of time, and the words of Rabbi Akiva came true. So first of all, very interesting verb two perspectives. The fact is that he died between Pesach and Etzeret, between Pesach and Shavuot, which is the same time period in which the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died based on the Gemara in Yevamot. So that's interesting only because the reason that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died is Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh L'Zeh. They didn't treat each other properly. And similarly over here, Yehuda ben Nechemiah didn't act appropriately or was not knowing Kavod to the Rebbe or to the great Tana, Rabbi Tarfon. In addition, the Memra or the Locha that Yehuda ben Nechemiah said was about an issue between Pesach and Etzeret. It was an issue between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. And you see from that he passed away during that time, almost like a Midah Keneged Midah. He silenced Rabbi Tarfon with something between Pesach and Etzeret, and because of that, he died between Pesach and Etzeret. Now, it's not clear why Rabbi Tarfon was silent. It could be that Rabbi Tarfon was silent because he acquiesced to what Yehuda ben Nechemiah said, and Yehuda ben Nechemiah's answer or explanation is very valid. Or it could be that he was silent because he thought it wasn't even worthwhile to respond to him because he didn't think it was a good answer. And the difference between Rabbi Tarfon's view here and Yehuda ben Nechemiah might relate to how they view the Isur of Chadash over here. If you think that the Isur of Chadash in the Medina and the Mikdash are one Isur, then you could speak about Hutar Mechlalo, which is that when it comes around to the Omer, that Isur of Chadash is broken outside of the Mikdash, even though it's still in force in the Mikdash, but that's called Hutar Mechlalo, because that same Isur has Heter outside the Mikdash, which is not true prior to the Omer. On the other hand, if you think that the Isur of Chodosh in the Mikdash is totally independent of the Isur Chodosh in the Medina, then in that view, even though it's Mutar Chodosh in Medina, it's not Hutar Mechlalo in the Mikdash, because the two Isurim don't overlap. And if that's the case, then you would believe that there should be no difference between before the Omer and after the Omer. That might have been the view of Rabbi Tarfon, and that may be why Rabbi Tarfon, first of all, had the question and doesn't respond to Yehuda ben Nechemiah, because he views Yehuda ben Nechemiah's position as being incorrect or premised on a wrong assumption that the Isurim are one Isur, because Rabbi Tarfon believes that they're two Isurim. Or Rabbi Tarfon hears that Taino of Yehuda ben Nechemiah, and he's silent because it really answers his question. And that's why either Rabbi Tarfon was silent because he acquiesced, or he's silent because he didn't believe that Yehuda ben Nechemiah's position had any basis because it's premised on a wrong assumption that's one Isur instead of two Isurim. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, the Divrei Yehuda ben Nechemiah, according to Yehuda ben Nechemiah, Nisachim Bikurim Shikrivam Kodem Omer, if you brought a Nesach, a wine libation, or Bikurim before the Omer, Ksherim, they should be kasher, because those are mutar lehedjot. They're hutar mechlalo lehedjot. There is no restriction. They're not governed by the Omer, and therefore they should be able to be brought before, even though you're not supposed to bring them. If you do bring them, they should be okay. As the Rabbeinu Gershom explains, the kuli ama bein and shtei shtei lechem kodem lecholim and alchot bikurim de peirot. The nisachim from the wine and the bikurim from the fruits, which are not supposed to come before the bikurim on Shavuot, because that's when you bring the first of those items to the Mikdash. Koshkin Omer, she called him Lahem. Became on the Yehuda ben Nechemiah Machshir, because he called him Shtei Lechem, Mishum Dehutar Mechlalo. According to that reasoning of Yehuda ben Nechemiah, certainly the Peirot of Chadosh, which were never Asur, Bechilat Hejot, they should also be able to be brought before the Omer, not just before the Shtei Lechem. Pshita, that seems pretty straightforward. Mao the Tema Atom Dehutar Mechlalo, it's a Jot. Over there where they were once asur and then became mutar to the hedjot, that's what allows them to be brought in the Mikdash. But over here where they were never hutar mechlalo because they were never asur, so maybe over here that wouldn't be true. Kamash malan, kol shekein, hacha do itzaklal. Certainly over here where there's no isur at all, there we would say that if you bring them before the threshold times, that they are kshirim b'diavad. Bayrami barchama. Shtei lechem, maushi atiru shelo kisidran. When it comes to the shtei lechem, can they be matir out of order? Hey chidami, what's the scenario? Kagon, the zarinu ben haomer the shtei lechem. It was planted between Pesach and Shavuot. So b'chalif alayu shtei lechem. So now the first thing that that crop meets when it's already rooted in the ground is the shtei lechem, the omer, and then they bump into the omer next year. My, what's the din? Kisidran sharyan, shalok kisidran shlo sharyan. The only way to be matir kodesh in the mikdash is you first pass the omer, then the shtei lechem in their normal order. Or maybe delma shlo kisidran nami sharyan. Maybe it doesn't have to be in order. You just need to pass both the omer and the shtei lechem. Doesn't matter which order. So here where you planted it before the shtei lechem, passes the shtei lechem, when you cross over the omer in the next year, it already should be mutar in the mikdash. So amarabo tashma. Let's look from the psukim. Im takri michat bikurim. Michat bikurim, which is the pasuk that's found in Vayikra Bet. Beminchat omer katuv midaber. That is the minchat omer. Meichan ba. Where does the minchat omer come from? Minas seorim. Comes from barley. Ataomer minas seorim anela minachitin. How do you know it comes from barley and not wheat? There's nothing specified by minchat bikurim. Blazer omer nemar aviv mitzrayim. Nemar aviv ledorot. It says the word aviv with regards to the minchat omer. It says aviv kaloi ba'esh. So the word aviv is used there. It also says aviv by mitzrayim. That's by the makav barad. It says over there that the reason that the seorah was damaged is because it says seorah aviv ba'pishta va'seorah nukata ki seorah aviv ba'pishta givol ba'chita va'kusemet lo nuku ki afilo teina. So when it comes to a reference to aviv that's mentioned by the omer, he correlates that with the aviv in Mitzrayim to tell you that it's reference to the seorah, to the barley. So ma aviv damor b'mitzrayim seorim. Just like the aviv that's mentioned by Mitzrayim is seorim, af aviv amor l'dorot seorim. So to over here by the minchat omer. Rabbi Kiva omer, matzinu yachid shemevi chuvato min achitim v'chuvato min seorim. We see that a yachid has a mincha or a chuvah that comes from wheat, and he has a minchat chuvah that comes from seorim. That is that the minchat choteh comes from achitim, the minchat sota comes from seorah. V'tzibor shemevin chuvatay min achitim u'mevin chuvatay min seorim. And the tzibur also has obligatory minachot that come from the chitim, like the shtei lechem, umein chovatam min esorim, and they also have obligatory korbanot that come from barley. Well, that's only true if you think the minchat omer comes from barley. Otherwise, there's no minchat tzibur that comes from seorim. V'im ata omer ba min achitim, if you say it comes from wheat, lo matzino tzibur, shmevi chovatam min esorim, then you don't find what Rabbi Akiva is suggesting, that there is a chova min tzibur to bring seorim. Tabar acher. If you say that Omer comes from the Chitim, then the Shtei Lechem are not Bikurim. It says by the Shtei Lechem, Mimoshvot Echem, Tavio Lechem Tzufa, Shtayim, Shnei Asunim, Solitiena, Chafet Stefena, Bikurim Lashem. There is also the requirement of Bikurim with regards to the Shtei Lechem. So it can only be Lechem Bikurim if they are the first. Well, if the Omer was brought from wheat, then the Shtei Lechem that's brought from wheat is not the first in the Mikdash. Now, this is all brought, this whole brayta is brought over here, because of this final diyuk. Vim eita, if you are right, that the question that Rabbi Barchama asks, which is shtei lechem shalok kisidran, if they are matir, then the shtei lechem shalok kisidran sharyon, that the shtei lechem out of order, do make the thing mutar to brown the mikdash, mishkachala, the makiv omer mehanak the ishrush kodem the shtei lechem, ubatar omer di ishtakad. And you can bring the Omer from those things that were planted between Pesach and Atzeret after this year's Omer, Ushtei Alechem, and the Shtei Alechem are brought Mehanach the Ishrosh Kodem the Omer, the Hashto. They were only planted before the Omer now, Ubata Shtei Alechem the Eshtekad, and after the Shtei Alechem. So what will happen is that you can bring both of them from wheat, but they will be different types of wheat. You have wheat that is planted between Pesach and Shavuot. That wheat will become mutar when you bring it after the shtei lechem it passed, and then the omer. So now you got both items in, and the omer can be brought from that grain, because that will be chadash for the minchat bikurim for the omer. And then when it comes to Shavuot and shtei lechem, well, you already brought from the wheat. What is chodosh? That'll be for things that were planted after Shavuot, because then they need to wait for the omer and the shtei lechem to be mutar. So that wheat will be the first time that type of wheat comes in the mikdash, is on Shavuot. So you have two different chodashes. You have one chodash, which is stuff that's planted between Pesach and Shavuot. And another chodash for things that were planted after Shavuot. And that way you could differentiate between the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, even though they both come from wheat. So that means, or that proves to you, that it must be that the Shtei Lechem is not matir out of order. And therefore these both grains, the stuff that was planted between Pesach and Atzeret, between Pesach and Shavuot, and it's up past after Shavuot are on the same cycle, and you have to wait for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem. If that's the case, then you can only bring the Omer from barley, because that's the only thing that's not new, and the Shtei Lechem have to come from the wheat. Gemara says, Misavart Bikurim the Peira Kamrinan? Who says that it has to be Bikurim from the crop, or the grain? Le Mizbeach Kamrinan. We're talking about the Mizbeach. V'achale Mizbeach, prepare the Hashaka. And you're already feeding the Mizbeach from this year's grain. So in essence, what he's suggesting over here is, you came up with a clever way to make it that the grains are slightly different because the harvest has a different din with regards to that which is planted between Pesach and Shavuot versus that which is after Shavuot. So technically, they have a different threshold that is matir them. That if you say out of order works, the Omer is matir, those that were planted between Pesach and Shavuot. And then only after the Omer, the next Shtei Lechem is matir that which was planted after the Shavuot, after the Shtei Lechem. So then you came up with this clever way to make it that the Omer has one type of new, and the Shtei Lechem have a different type of new. The fact that the Braita says that was impossible shows you that that's not the case. Gemara says that's not true. The Bikurim is not about the produce now being mutar in the Mikdash. It's about the Mizbeach. This is the first wheat that is put on the Mizbeach. And the wheat is this year's wheat. Whether it was planted between the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, or it was planted after the Shtei Lechem, that harvest is the same year's harvest. And therefore, it's all from the same year. And the question is, what's the first wheat that goes on the Mizbeach from this year's harvest? Irrespective if it was planted between Pesach and Shavuot, it was planted after Shavuot, whatever goes, once that wheat ends up on the Mizbeach, that's the new wheat on the Mizbeach. And therefore, even if you believe out of order it could be matirit, if you were to put wheat on the Mizbeach for the Omer, that means the Mizbeach already had wheat from this year. Even though the next thing you're saying, oh, you'll get wheat from stuff that was planted after Shavuot, which is slightly different. You're right, it's slightly different, but it's still this year's wheat. And it has to be Bikurim the Mizbeach, has to be new for the Mizbeach. And we want the Shtei Lechem to have new wheat on the Mizbeach. And without that, it would not be considered Bikurim, and therefore you have no proof from this Braita as to whether the Shtei Lechem are matir out of order or only in order. Alright, we're going to stop here. Two lines down on the top of Samach Tet Amud Aleph.